you're listening to the Mark Hatfield Podcast.
You want to go fight some crime?
I got your number, I know your name, and I know you play the game.
I'm going to tell you how I almost died and why it made me one of the happiest people on earth. March 26th, 8 years ago, my family, my wife, and my three little boys had just gotten back from the happiest place on earth, Disneyland. And then the very day we got back, me and my oldest son, my seven-year-old boy, were heading out of town for another happy adventure, his first out-of-town hockey tournament. It's in Kingston. We're going from Ottawa to Kingston, about a two-hour drive, beautiful Friday afternoon. Driving down the road, we're about 30 seconds from the arena. I could see the arena. Driving through the last intersection, and bam! A truck driving 80 kilometers per hour goes right through a red light, smashes into the side of our minivan. It hits us so hard, it comes up on top of me, and it pins me down. Starts pushing our minivan sideways through traffic. And all I could do when I was pinned down was look into the back seat. And I could see my little boy. And there was a car headed right at his side of the minivan. And that was the worst moment of my life. And then it happens. And then everything stops. And there's broken car pieces everywhere. And there's smoke coming from the ignition. There's a guy running hysterically around our minivan. And that's when I heard my little boy. And he said, "Daddy, are we going to be late for hockey?" And it was then when I realized he was all right and thinking more about the hockey game that I became the happiest person on earth. Inside that smashed up minivan became the happiest place on earth. See, it's where we are mentally, not where we are physically, that determines our happiness. And it was then that I realized that there's no guarantee of tomorrow. If we have goals and dreams and things that we want to achieve, then the time is now to start working on them. Welcome to the podcast. This is the Hatfield Trip. We've taken trips into other people's stories, other people's adventures, other people's journeys. That's my cat. He's going to smash a bowl. Just like that. His journey of smashing things is extensive. See, it's because when we look back on the crazy, chaotic things that are happening in our lives, that we realize those are the reasons why we achieve, why we overcome. I think it's Steve Jobs that said we can't understand the dots going forward, but when we look back, we can connect them. So we'll be interviewing ordinary people, everybody, the everyday person, athletes, politicians, comedians, firefighters. Get their story and how they've overcome things and how they've achieved and how they've dealt with setbacks. My story starts in 1985 when I was a 15-year-old boy. On January 22nd of that year, me and my big brother Bill sat down to watch the biggest show on earth, the Super Bowl. In that game was a guy by the name of Dan Marino, number 13 for the Miami Dolphins, and we were big fans. That Christmas, my brother had bought me a number 13 Dan Marino jersey, so I was wearing it. It was a pretty special time. We were sitting there on the couch, big bowl of popcorn, watching this game, and my brother's like, "You know what, Dan Marino, in his second season in the NFL, is already making and breaking all kinds of records, and he's taking his team to the biggest game on the planet." He says to me, "Mark, you know what? Someday you could play in the NFL." I was like, "What? This kid from Ottawa? From Gloucester High School?" I'd only played 1 year of organized football up until this point. In grade 9 for the Gloucester Gators. I remember my first day at Gloucester High School. It's a terrifying day. It's a day when you get there and you walk around and it's all like adults walking around with books, but those are other students. You know, back then we had grade 13 and 14 and sometimes 15. And I remember at the end of the day, that first day, my big brother says to me, you know what, Mark? You love football? They got a tackle football team here. Why don't you go try out for the team? It's like, all right, Bill, I'll do that. I love football. It's a good idea. Great way to get to know people. So I remember at the end of that terrifying first day, I walked down to the room where they're having the meeting and signed up. And then I went out and they got my equipment, tried to figure out how to put all that on, and I ran out to practice. And very first play, trying out as a receiver, and on the very first play, they throw me the ball. And I got smoked so hard. I was lying there on the ground, my first play knocked out by this big dude. I look up at him, and as my vision come back, I realize this dude has a beard. Welcome to football. Welcome to high school. Welcome to life, kid. I think you just became a man. Some dude with a beard knocked you out on your first play. What are you going to do? And I jumped up, man. I didn't know how to handle it, so I ran home. My big brother Bill says, Mark, you know what? If it was easy, it wouldn't be worth doing. Get back out there and keep trying. I did. Very next day, I went back out. And that first season at Gloucester High School, we had a perfect season. We perfectly lost every game. We were terrible. And here it is, 3 months later, I'm sitting on the couch with my brother, and he's telling me that someday I'm going to play in the NFL. All right, Bill, how am I going to do that? He's like, I got an idea. Let's go and work hard when nobody else is. Let's go down to the local sports field and throw the ball around. We'll get better at that. We'll do push-ups. We'll do sprints. And we had fun. We loved doing it. We did it. We did it all off-season in the rain and the cold and the dark. Just had a good time with it. And then by the time the next season started, you know the story. The hard work was paying off. I was catching footballs in the games and scoring touchdowns and helping my team win games. And that season, my brother says to me, you know what, Mark? You've helped your team win some games. It's a special year because you're making it to the playoffs. And for those of you that are Toronto Maple Leafs fans, the playoffs are another game after the regular season. And I'll never forget that first big game, my chance to show, you know, my brother that the hard work was paying off and that someday I could play in the NFL. It was October 30th, 1985. Day I'll never forget. First big game. I remember being down in my stance ready for opening kickoff and seeing all the fans and hearing the cheerleaders, and there's a guy making hot dogs, and I used to always look over before the game at the stands and wave at my brother. He wasn't there that particular moment. Maybe off getting a hot dog or something. I didn't know, catch up with him later. And they kicked the ball off to us. And on our first drive, we marched it down the field, and we scored. And then we kicked it back to them, and they marched it down the field, and they scored. And it happened like that all game long. We battled hard. We fought tooth and nail, first half, second half. And my first big game on October 30th, 1985, we lost. We lost, and as a young person, I had no idea how to handle that situation. My head was spinning. So I walk back into the change room, and I sit down in my spot, start taking my equipment off, and as I'm sitting there, somebody from across the room yells, Mark, your uncle's out in the hallway. You got to go talk to him right now. I hadn't seen my uncle in months. He never came to any of my sports stuff before, so it was kind of weird. I walk out into the hallway. He's standing there. And I'm still trying to catch my breath. Got half my equipment on. But he walks right straight over to me. And he takes me by the arm and he says, Mark, I'm sorry, but your big brother Bill died today. You see, my brother was born with a hole in his heart. And from a very young age, the doctors told him that any day could be his last day. But he never let that get in his way. He took every day and he lived it like it might be his last. And he charged ahead into the future and he set a great example for his little brother. And on that day, October 30th, 1985, I made a promise to my brother that the goal we had set together, I would never stop trying to achieve it until I did it or till there was nowhere left to keep trying. I could have easily given up and quit right then and there. People would have expected it of me. But I didn't. And I wasn't going to let the legacy of my big brother's life be of his little brother giving up and quitting on things. I was going to make it of his little brother never giving up on things. So I took myself out to that sports field in the cold and the rain and the dark. And I never gave up. We're going to be faced with lots of roadblocks in life. It's our decision what we do with them if we flip them around and make them our stepping stones. So I just kept trying. And every year of high school football, Gloucester High School, I got a little bit better. And by my last season at Gloucester High School, when other guys in the team are getting letters from colleges and universities saying they want them to go there and play football, every day I check my mailbox for one of those letters. And every day there was nothing. But I never gave up. I went back. I went back to grade 14. When all my friends had left, and I worked at my grades, and I worked at my football, and I got better at both of those. And at the end of that year, I got one letter from the smallest football playing school in Canada. Great school, Bishop's University. But nobody from that school had ever gone on to play in the NFL. It was impossible, I was told. If you go to that school, no one's going to hear about you. But it was my only hope. It was my only chance. And I knew if I was going to go there and do something that nobody in the history of that school had done before, that I was going to have to make an impact from the day I got there. I was going to have to impress not only my coaches, but all the coaches in that league. And they were going to have to vote me as an all-star early and often. And that was my plan. 3 weeks before my first training camp at Bishop's University, I was working in a warehouse in Orleans, trying to raise the money to go to school. Now my dog's eating kibble in the background. Trying to raise the money. And I was working in this warehouse and I cut the tip off my finger. Not good for a receiver. I was going to go anyways. You know, didn't matter. I was going to overcome that obstacle too. Day training camp, as I'm leaving for training camp, I go out and play basketball and break my ankle. Now I'm showing up to training camp. Showing for training camp with a cast on one foot and a bandage on my hand. But I'm going to win that All-Star Award this year anyways. What do you think happened? Nothing. I didn't even play in a game my first season. When I was able to, I practiced with the team, but never got into a game. Second season. First game, scored a touchdown. Whew, finally, things are going my way. After the game, coach calls me over and says, "Hey, no, great job, Hatfield. We like that you're enthusiastic, always ready to play. But we don't think you're going to be a receiver here anymore." Moves me to defense, which is like almost like playing a different sport. And the next season, the next week, moves me back to offense. Now you're an offensive lineman. Man, nothing's going my way. But I tried as hard as I could that season. And do you think I won an All-Star Award that year? No, I haven't won 2 years and nothing to show. Nothing's going my way, not for a minute, not for an hour. It's a daily struggle. I had to keep motivating myself. You know, I made that promise, I'm not going to give up. I got 2 years left. Work as hard as I possibly can all off season. Get ready for season number 3. The day training camp starts, we have a strength test. Head coach Ian Breck puts 400 pounds on the bar, wants to see how many times we can bench press it, lift it off our chest. And the year before, I did it 2 times. Pretty sure I can beat that, and I'm pretty excited. Got some friends standing around, clapping for me. "Come on, Hatfield, let's go." I get to 1. No big deal. I get to 2. I've tied what I did the year before. My friends are clapping even louder, cheering for me. I get to 3. I beat what I did the year before. I get to 4. My friends are going crazy. I go to put the weight down, high five my buddy, forget to move my hand, drop the weight on the back of my hand, break my hand in 3 places. Immediately call my mother. Tell her I broke my hand in 3 places. She says, "Stop going to those places." Played the whole season with 1 hand, On the other hand, in a complete cast, and did I win an All-Star Award that year? No, did not. 1 year left. Give it all I got. Work as hard as I possibly can. Season starts. Things are going great. I'm injury free. I'm doing real good. Coaches on the team are telling me how good I'm doing. Coaches of other teams are telling me how good I'm doing. I'm finally, all this hard work has paid off. Finally, I'm going to win that All-Star Award, get the attention I can, and, you know, make it to the NFL. This is it. Season ends. Head coach calls a meeting. He's going to announce that year's All-Stars. I remember feeling great. Finally, this is it. This is my year. Walk in the room to the meeting. Gives me a smile. I sit down. I'm like, oh, this is it. I know it. He pulls out a little piece of paper. He goes, all right, I want to congratulate the following people on being selected as All-Stars this year. He goes, names have been changed to predict the innocent. He goes, congratulations to Kevin McDonald. Oh, man. Kevin had a great season. He deserves it. Goes on. He goes, and Patrick O'Reilly. Oh, Patrick wins it every year, man. He also deserves it, but it's what he says next. It's what he says next that is forever etched in my mind. He goes, and that's it for this year's All-Stars. And I got furious. I got so angry. I wanted to hit something. I storm out of the room and I walk up and down the street and I finally make it back to my apartment. And I sit down and I'm still going through all kinds of emotions. Man, I start to cry and back to angry. And then something happens. Something that I couldn't really explain. Sitting beside me on a little table is a picture of myself playing football that year. I could explain that. I'd put pictures of me everywhere. But what I couldn't explain was sitting on a little table underneath that picture was a Sports Illustrated magazine that I'd never seen before. I don't know how it got there. And on the cover of that magazine were pictures of NFL football players who played the same position as me. And I picked one up. I looked at it. And I looked at the other. And as I went back and forth, I realized that I look very similar to these guys. There's no reason why they can achieve something and I can't. Just have to keep trying. I just have to find out exactly how. And I started asking people, and the first person said, you're crazy, give up, stop trying. It's never been done before. Why are you wasting your time? Find something else to do. Until I came across a guy by the name of Glenn Constantine. And Glenn Constantine, at the time, was just a young football coach. What does that guy even know? Well, since that time, he's become one of the most successful university football coaches of all time. He's won like 7 or 8 national championships at the University of Laval as the head coach. You know, you got to listen to everybody who's got advice for you and decide what it is going to help you. He says, you got the passion and you got the desire, but you got to write it down on a piece of paper. You got to set goals. You got to structure this. You got to tell yourself every single day what you're going to do. So I did. I wrote down a piece of paper, stuck it beside my bed. It was the last thing I saw every night before I went to sleep. The first thing I saw every single morning. I took every day like it might be my last, like my brother, big brother would have. And I charged ahead into the future. I went back to university one more year. That year, we won a championship. And that year, I got a piece of paper said I was an All-Star. Finally, I got that piece of paper. But you know what got me really excited at that point? Is that I had this process. I had this, if I could write down my goals, write out the steps, never give up, then now great things are starting to happen. What did that piece of paper mean to the outside world? Well, the BC Lions and the CFL, they thought quite a bit of it. The first round of the Canadian college draft, part of the whole country, they said, we think Mark Hatfield's pretty good. And they drafted me, made me feel great. Great for my social life. But I'd made a promise. I was going to do everything I could to make it to the NFL. And what did the NFL think of that piece of paper? Nothing, that's right. They did not care about some kid from Canada. I had to do more. So I started making videotapes of every game I played that year, and I sent it to every NFL team. And then I waited. And when you wait forever. So I had to keep doing more. I picked up the telephone and started phoning them. And they kept hanging up. And then I discovered sometimes you got to get an expert. So I got a sports agent. Someone who'd made that phone call a thousand times before, who knew the people on the other end of the line. And he started calling NFL football teams for me. And 1 month before NFL training camp started that year, I got a return phone call from the NFL's Detroit Lions inviting me to training camp. Time to rest and relax? No. Pedal to the metal. I signed up in a place in Ann Arbor, Michigan called Dr. Ping's House of Pain, where NFL football players go and they do martial arts against each other till they bruise and they bleed. They lift weights until they throw up. They run sprints until they weep openly. I left there. I felt like Superman. Like if a truck had hit me, the truck had break to pieces. I got the training camp in Detroit. I dominated every drill of every practice. I played every snap of every preseason game, and they announced the final roster. I got cut. I got cut. I said, thanks for coming out, but you can go home. I no longer had a home. I had to go back to Ottawa and live on that old green couch. I wasn't a big fan of that green couch. I had to share it with a wiener dog named Fritzy. But I wanted away from that couch and that dog, so I kept working out. And a few days later, I got back from a workout, and there's a message on my answering machine. And it says, Mark, we've been watching you since day one in Detroit. And under other circumstances, that'd be a pretty creepy message to get. But this time it says, Mark, we've been watching you since day one in Detroit. It's the Miami Dolphins. We want you to fly down here, do a workout, maybe be on the team. And the date that I went down there and did the workout was October 30th. 1995. It was 10 years to the day that my big brother Bill died. It was 10 years to the day that I made that promise. I'll let you take that fact with you and decide what it means to you. I know what it means to me, but what I will tell you is it was 10 years. It was 10 years of failure. It was 10 years of people telling me I couldn't do it. It was 10 years of me waking up every single day and pointing myself in that direction. So I went out for the workout, laying it all on the line. Wasn't afraid to make any mistakes. Just gave it everything I had, 100%. When the workout was done, head coach Don Shula goes, all right, Hatfield, thanks, great job. I want you to go inside and sit down. Somebody will be in to talk to you in a moment. So I walk in their training facility, still trying to catch my breath, all sweaty and dirty from the workout. Sit down in this plastic folding chair, this big empty room, breathing heavily still, wondering what's going to happen. And as I sit there, I look across the room and the door at the other side opens up. This familiar looking guy walks in the room and he walks right straight over to me. He puts out his hand and he says, hi, Mark, I'm Dan Marino. Congratulations, I heard you made the team. That day, 10 years to the day, my dream came true. Yours can too. Find something you love doing, something you're passionate about, something you want to overcome. Never give up. When you're faced with a roadblock, I want you to take a second, take a step back, and take another look. Because that roadblock might just be your stepping stone. Thanks for joining me in the first podcast of the Hatfield Trip. Tune in next week. We'll have some guests. Maybe my dog and my cat will be back. Until that time, stay cool.